Okay, we got four of us here. Four. I'm gonna call the meeting to order on Wednesday, July 15th. Would you do the roll call, Mike, or Commissioner Schmidt, Commissioner Amer,
Here.
Commissioner Weber, here, Vice Chair Evans,
Present.
and Chair Shepherd here, and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance during the regular meeting. Okay. With that, I'm going to adjourn into closed session for a conference with real property negotiators, 750 US Highway 101. Negotiators Mike Bonamassa, Ryan Paul, Sandy Marino, parties to Daniel Dayhan, price and payment terms. Conference with real property negotiators, 159 Starfish Way. Mike Rademacher, Ryan Paltz, and Sandy Marino are the negotiators, and the negotiating parties, Dr. Dayhan, price and payment term. And then Government Code Section 9495, 6.8, 161 Starfish Way, Crescent City, California. Negotiators are Mike Rademacher, Ryan Paltz, Sandy Marino, and the negotiating party is Ocean Gold Seafoods, Inc., and it's price and payment terms. With that, we'll go into closed session.
Any public comments online?
Any public comment? Okay, we are coming out of closed session and convening an open session, but we're going to take about a 4 minute break, and we'll be in open session in 4 minutes. And nothing to report out of closed session. Okay, I'm calling to order the meeting on July 15th, go to City Harbor. Would you take the roll call, please?
Commissioner Niemer?
Here.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Here.
Secretary Weber?
Present.
Vice Chairman Evans?
Present.
And Chairman Shepherd?
I'm present. So, and I want a Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, and we'll start things off. We'll start with the general public comment, provided for subjects not included on the agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to make 3 minutes speaking time. To maintain meeting decorum, board members and staff should refrain from responding to statements or questions during this time, but may be available to follow up with members of the public after the meeting. General public comment.
Yesterday, the Del Norte County Board of Supervisors voted to approve the Harbor Facilities Plan. During that meeting, the supervisors noted that Harbor Master Rademacher had informed them he would be present. He never arrived. Mr. Rademacher later told me that Fiscal Officer Moreno was also supposed to attend, but was out of state at a soccer event and could not make it back in time. Whatever the explanation may be, it speaks to the priorities of this administration. This harbor does not suffer from a lack of opportunity. It suffers from a lack of leadership and follow-through. Public members have had to mow harbor property before harbor staff got around to moving it. The annual audits remain unfinished. Budgets are repeatedly late or incomplete because there is supposedly never enough time to do the work law requires. Yet somehow, there's plenty of time to send taxpayers an invoice for $93,923, nearly $29,000 more than the $65,000 fee the board previously approved for your fiscal consultant. That deserves an explanation. California Public Records Act requests continue to be treated as though the government code is discretionary rather than mandatory. Brown Act violations continue to be dismissed, even though those issues are now part of my pending federal civil rights lawsuit. 564 days have passed, and those CEPA requests have not been submitted, are finished, or completed. Meanwhile, this administration repeatedly uses the words accountability and transparency Those are admirable words, but they have little meaning when the actions consistently point to the opposite direction. Accountability means completing audits. Transparency means producing public records. Responsible governance means completing budgets on time, attending important public meetings, answering difficult questions, and respecting the laws you swore to uphold. Ironically, your continued actions may ultimately work to my advantage. Every decision you make creates a public record. Every failure becomes part of your legacy. And every voter will have the opportunity to ask you why you chose to disregard the oath of office you took. Why this harbor continues to resemble a shipwreck instead of an economic engine for this community, and why you believe you deserve another 4 years after years of documented failures. The public is paying attention. In the end, it's not the board that will render the final judgment. It will be the voters. Thank you very much.
Still on open discussion.
And I hope, yes, it's a public comment, yes.
First, I would like to remind everyone about calling names and doing unproductive stuff, telling people they don't know what they're doing and stuff. Second, I'd like to an update on the parking lot for the boats, where people were parking it up against the wire and couldn't get your truck and boat out of there.
Well, we're not the most common, but so what you're getting is it needs we need to do some striking over there
Yeah.
because it's too tight for the boats to turn in, and people who are just in a car park up against the wall so they can get on a boat. And I don't know what to do about it. Other than I guess we could stripe it, but then they're still going to park, just not have parking there.
Is there a specific area that's causing the issue that maybe was getting
Yeah,
addressed?
right there where the trailers park, and they park
Struggle.
towards the bay, not Oceanside. And then there's the wall up against the boat, the bay area for the harbor, and there's cars parking there. Well, there's not enough room for the boats with long trailers to get out and get around with those cars parking.
That's the
So
worst.
if you just have to omit the parking up against there, then I don't know where the cars would park.
Further down.
Further down.
In addition to striping, we could do some signage. That would be helpful. Yeah, maybe you and I can put our heads together and go
That
out there and walk in with Justin as well.
particular area is already painted red as a no parking zone, so they could be towed.
So, yeah,
Give me a tow truck and I'll tow everybody.
we can put some. We do have some violation stickers that are. You know, the pain to get off. You know, but as an incentive to keep people from doing that. Right.
Right. Thank
Yeah,
you.
thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item four, consider and approve professional services agreement from Community Systems and Management.
But I don't know if you want to.
We're going to table
You want to repeat the announcement of that closed session since not everybody was here.
what's that?
The closed session.
Okay, yeah, we there was no nothing to report out of closed session.
Okay.
I reported that coming out of closed session, but I'm not an open session. And so, yeah, the item four is we're going to table that. But we're planning on a meeting next Wednesday. There'll be another board meeting next Wednesday. I made the decision to not have one last Wednesday, which is our normal board meeting. The staff was kind of overwhelmed over the 4th of July and everything that was going on. It was kind of short timing to put an agenda together, so we held off a week. So that's all on me. And so we're going to have two meetings in a row in a week in 2 weeks, and we'll have another meeting next week. And that's where we'll take up the services agreement with Community Systems Solutions and also Kimberly Horn. So We're going to table items 4 and 5 till next Wednesday.
Can we, they're on the agenda. Can I just state that I did email Mr. Barr after reviewing those documents and asked that they add their professional liability insurance. He did say he reached out to Kimberly Horn and asked if they had it, and they were both the so they are amenable to adding it to those agreements.
So they did. Did Kimberly Horn have it?
They have $2 million, and CSS has $1 million.
$1 million,
and they are amenable to adding it to those agreements. So if staff could add,
well, that's those, why we're not doing it today. Maybe.
I'm not sure why we're not doing it today, but that was the discussion.
I think Mike Barr just called it this one a little bit ago, and maybe that so that it could be added to that agreement, because I saw that you did that, and I thought that was a really good idea, and I'm glad that we addressed that situation. So. Thank you very much for doing that.
So Sandy's going to prepare some additional reports that are going to provide some more background on these agreements for the next meeting. So that's part of the reason. But yeah, there were some initial changes, and we won't put that in the agreements. So it's just going to be.
We just weren't quite ready. Okay. With that, we'll move on to 6. Not to consider and adopt resolution number 2026-12, approving the lease with Crescent City Beach Village LLC for the property commonly known as Redwood Harbor Village, located at 159 Starfish Way, Crescent City, authorizing the CEO RMS to execute the lease subject to final approval by district council.
Well, is
there any public comment on the lease? For Redwood Harbor Village.
It's probably going to be pertaining to both of them, but there was an issue brought up today in regards to CEQA. And it's been my understanding that the RV parks are exempt from CEQA. Is that correct? Because I couldn't find anything at the county level that shows that. And I didn't have time to call up the commissioner, coastal commission, and find out myself. Because when you place things like timeshares, cabins, and all the different little projects that you have listed, it suddenly doesn't become an RV park anymore. It's something else. And it's going to require coastal commission, a negative declaration and an EIR, environmental impact report. And if you don't look into that now, and Mr. Dayhan signs the contract and finds out that, oh, somebody didn't do their job, now we've got problems again. So it's just something that you should really investigate a little bit, because whoever said that we are exempt from CEQA, you're exempt for the seawall and the bathroom, maybe. There is paperwork at the county concerning that, but nothing else about RV parks, and that needs to do a 50. Thanks.
Yes, go ahead.
So it's not that the RV parks are like categorically exempt from CEQA. They're definitely subject to CEQA, but it all depends on the type of changes you're going to do. And so some of the changes that, like you were talking about, can go into that category of requiring CEQA. And so down the road, he's going to have to deal with that. And the contract does anticipate that's his responsibility, you know, to get coastal development permits and those types of things. But, you know, in the short term, the near term, he's going to just be making some repairs. And so that does not trigger CEQA. But that's ultimately his responsibility. He's very clear-eyed about this. He's had experience with development on coastal areas like White Rock. So, I mean, he's sophisticated enough to anticipate those issues. But at this particular time, we're transferring it as it is. CEQA does not apply.
That doesn't say that in your contract when you release, just so you know.
I mean, is there something you want to point out that is a concern for it?
That's not my job right now. I told you. I've already warned you. You need to look into it. So that's not my problem.
I would like some clarity on that, reading this if he Mr. Dahan has mentioned adding cabins and has mentioned timeshares, and those do change the exempt classifications under CEQA. I see it mentioned in the resolution. I know it's also mentioned in the lease, and I cannot quote anything on in the lease off the top of my head. I'm trying to find it right now. But
Yeah, I think it's basically here. The tenant improvements shall be performed in compliance with applicable laws, rules, regulations, tenant conditions, and other governmental requirements. So the tenant, it says, tenant shall be solely responsible at tenant's sole cost and expense for obtaining any permits, approvals, entitlements, postal approvals, environmental review, which would be CEQA, and other government authorizations. So that's
14B.
what 14B, yeah. So I
So
think we
if he
got
has
that.
mentioned putting in the cabins, then CEQA needs to be done. So are we going to start that process? Or are we going to wait for him to initiate that? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's, doing that like next week, but as soon as I mean, we'll coordinate it. He has a company that he's working with for his environmental compliance. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. I think it's based out of Arcata. But yeah, I mean, we'll coordinate that
Everything.
together. We have a role to play as a government entity, as a landlord, but it's going to be at his expense. So, I mean, which is right here, sole cost and expense.
Is there any public comment on resolution number 2026, approving a lease with Crest City Beach Village LLC for the property of Bayside RV. Does the board have any comments on it?
Well, yes, we discussed in closed session that the LLC was changed, so we agreed to have this contract with BSD Management and is now an LLC. And some of us members have requested an operating agreement to determine the shareholders. When we initially set out on this, there was supposed to be some obligations as to benchmarks and/or investments, and now none of that is in this lease.
Operating agreement, and what was the second one?
Some sort of benchmark and or there's a now at 48 months, they are no longer required to be the lessee. They can lease it out. Somebody else can then obtain the lease. So with no benchmarks, we aren't guaranteed any of the improvements that we've been told were coming. So something has to give either a benchmark or move that 48 months down the road.
Yeah, I mean, without getting into closed session, we received some legal advice from closed session, and I would just encourage the board to follow that advice. That's all I want to say.
I have some interest in determining what arrangement or terms were effective to facilitate the transfer of BSD's interests in the RV park to Crescent City Beach Village LLC. What were the operating terms of that agreement? Why was changing it?
Standard operating procedure when you start a new business, you set up an LLC. Completely understandable that the BSD is set up, and I'm not even saying BSD, an investment group is setting up a new company, and we're going to be doing business with these people. We did due diligence on Daniel Dayham, the person, and these are the groups of people that he's worked with. And this is just standard operating procedure. They've now decided what the name of their company is going to be. And they're moving forward with that. And so this is not unusual to be given the company name that they'd like the contract in, now that we've done our due diligence on the parties involved.
Well, your comment, Sandy, if I may, seems to limit the scope of the transfer of BSD's multi-million-dollar interest in the harbor to this new LLC simply to effect a name change.
At this point, he doesn't have an interest in anything in the harbor because you haven't signed a contract. At this point, I think that's why it's being instituted at this point is he's getting ready to solidify his interest. And this is the name that he wants it in. And all kinds of arguments could be there. But again, I refer to what Mike said, the lawyer has advised you in closed session.
Through a text message, he was not present.
Now, what deal, what differences are there between the contract between the harbor and BSD on the one hand, and between BSD and Crescent Beach Village on the other hand? Are some obligations not included? Has BSD taken over the harbor under a less onerous conditions or anything like that?
Contract's the same. They're just telling you what name they want it in. That's how I interpret it from doing new businesses. This is standard operating procedure. We're now ready to proceed. We have an agreement on the table. This is the name we want to be in there. This is standard operating procedure. Anytime you start a business.
And then when you sell when a business then sells that business or gives it to somebody else, there's some kind of an understanding between those two parties that's being transferred.
BSD at this point has nothing to transfer. He doesn't have a contract to transfer over to these people. Nobody has anything because nobody signed any legal documents yet. There's no governing document for any transaction at this point. There are agreements to do so, and you're getting ready to sign something, and they're just trying to get it in that name so they don't have to do anything later. This is the name they want to do business in. This is the company that's going to actually do it.
Well, I appreciate that you're satisfied with that's all that changes, is the name of the new business. But I'm concerned about what conditions and obligations and duties might have changed between one owner and this new owner. That's what I'm concerned about. You get two owners. So BSD is the original owner. They're selling, transferring, giving away the whole damn enchilada to CCBV. Why? What are the terms?
Again, a state.
BSD never had any interest in this contract.
BSD never did?
Their name was on it originally.
What was their name on RIP?
So BSD was negotiating this lease. Like Sandy said, it's standard operating procedure. And I think we need to keep, to anybody who has any concerns about this arrangement, keep in mind that this tenant is making all the investment. You know, the harbor is not making any investment. Basically, our risk is our opportunity cost, which is if there was ever an issue, then you know we're potentially risking the productive use of that parcel. That's what we're risking. We're not risking really any capital investment. So, I mean,
Commissioner Schmidt has requested the operating agreement. This contract has also been moved out from July 15th now to August 1st, so that leaves 2 weeks. We have a meeting next week. Why can't the commission receive the operating agreement?
And in the sale contract between BSD and CCBV, what's the deal between those two separate legally identifiable entities?
The reason why we can't wait 2 weeks is because we've waited a really long time to get to this point, and we keep doing it and doing it. And it'd be nice to just wrap all these things up. We'll get ready to do a big meeting next week.
I would like those excuses to stop. The board, a couple of the commissioners have asked for an operating agreement.
That's right.
Then make a motion.
I move that we not proceed on this lease until BSD provides the agreement that it is entering into with CCBV. What's the deal? How does it affect the harbor? We need to know that. And we need to see that. It's not just standard procedure. Those are trouble-inducing phrases. This is just a standard form. Sign here. Well, it's not a standard form. Read the fine print. That's what I'm asking for, the fine print. So let's get that before we obligate this harbor district for the next 15 or 20 years. That's all.
I don't believe it would be a motion at this point. We would just continue this at the next meeting. Mr. Rademacher, he stated that our legal counsel, they've been over this contract, they've seen it, and they haven't conveyed to the rest of the board any concerns with this transfer. it appears that our legal counsel doesn't see any problems with this, and that it's merely they're stating what name they're going to be doing business as it pertains to the RV parks, correct?
That's right. I would just be concerned about sending the wrong signal to this developer at this point in time after these negotiations. I mean, the board's received legal advice in closed session.
No, the board didn't receive legal advice. We received a text message. There have been other meetings where legal counsel has said he will guide us, but some of his guidance has been based on what the board wants, not necessarily his best advice.
And I would send a strong message to the attorney that he obtain a copy of the contract transferring BSD's interest in the pending RV lease to CCB Vehicle. Let him review it. If he thinks it doesn't smell bad, fine. But somebody besides just standard operating procedure has got to drive this decision.
Yes, correct me if I'm wrong, BSD has no, they're not transferring it. We have no agreement with BSD, correct?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any transfer, Commissioner Schmidt.
Well, you guys have got your head in the sand now. Don't you think that BSD was counting on this agreement going through? Very likely they thought it would happen today. But it's going to happen perhaps next week. But let's know why they want to get rid of it and give it to Crescent City Beach Village. They want to give it up after fighting for 9 months to get it. Now, within minutes of a decision, they switch names. You can't do that.
It's a shadow company.
Yeah, I wouldn't characterize it that way, but I think there's a certain risk of sending the wrong message to you, this developer, by not being extremely patient.
I'm sending the message to the attorney to do the work. Mm-hmm. The developer doesn't need to know what we and our counsel have discussed. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, just keep in mind, our attorney's been involved every step of the way. Our attorney has given his blessing to move forward today.
Okay, have you reviewed yourself, sir? As the so-called negotiating party chairman, have you negotiated the deal between BSD and CCBV? Have you, sir? What's the deal about? Why are they doing that?
I mean,
name change, standard operating procedure.
That's the same opinion that I formed and that our legal counsel has formed. That Sandy has explained with her years and years of experience. That this is a very standard thing to do is to form a company that is segregated from your other business entities. It has an operation in White Rock. And I think from our point of view, if he were to incur some liability at White Rock, we wouldn't want that to endanger his interest in, the harbor. So it is actually to our advantage in many ways to have things segregated.
Especially if it was against BSD.
That's on the phone if we want to ask
them. Then BSD, we wouldn't incur any liability from the main company of BSD.
Okay.
You guys are approving it.
Point of order.
Okay. Yeah, Ryan's on speakerphone if you guys want to have a dialogue with him. This is our attorney who's joining us speaking.
Ryan, can you hear me? Okay, Dan Schmidt here. If you can't hear me, I'll make some changes here to the phone. We're kind of caught off guard at the very last minute before the ink is dry on this agreement. You learned that BSD wants to change the lessee's name to Crescent City Beach Village, an entirely new, different legal person and LLC. As you know, it's a different legal person, not the same entity. It's a new entity created for some purpose that we don't know about. You know why they're doing it.
Through an investor model allows them a little bit more flexibility in in how investors can invest. If it's in BSD, right, BSD owns other assets. If it's in its own distinct LLC, then investors can be solicited for this particular development project. That's what I would assume. It's pretty standard for developers to create subsidiary LLCs distinct for each project, both from a asset segregation and tax purpose, but also to allow for funding mechanisms to move through on a distinct project. Like, you know, there's a concern that, you know, the asset base that BSD may own may not be available to us in a breach situation, which is all the more reason to make sure that they carry the adequate insurance and that we're verifying the existence of insurance as we move forward.
Are you familiar, Ryan, with the asset base of CCBV?
I'm not.
Is anybody at the Harvard office, Mike, or anybody familiar with the asset base of Crescent City Beach Village, to your knowledge?
No. I don't know. My assumption would be that the only asset of this LLC will be whatever capitalized funding they obtain in this lease.
Okay, I think you've covered my point, sir. Thank you.
Do you have any concerns with the way that they're doing this, Ryan?
Honestly, you know, we sought a personal guarantee. That was, for the most part, a non-starter. With a new LLC, it'd be great to have an additional guarantor to stand behind the obligations. But they have pretty robust insurance obligations, especially on the liability side. That's as long as we are verifying the existence of insurance, including contractual indemnity. You know, that is the protection that the district has, and has, you know, an insurance company standing behind those obligations. So in my experience, subsidiary LLCs are commonplace. I think some of the initial drafts included a placeholder or a yet-to-be-formed entity that would hold the lease. Usually you have a property company and an operating company as further segregation. My understanding here is that this LLC is both going to possess and maintain the property as well as operate the property. So all in all, I don't have too much concern as long as our insurance is properly verified by both district staff and our insurance brokers.
Thank you, Ryan.
At the outset of this, we had benchmarks we had set up and or a financial guarantee, which they also said were non-starters. But there's also a provision in there that says at 48 months, they can release this to somebody else. They could do it in the meantime, but in 48 months, it's much easier. So they essentially are guaranteeing nothing, is that correct, other than the $150,000 a year?
Well, I mean, they're guaranteeing essentially all the obligations under the lease, one of which is to pay rent. The other is to maintain it in, you know, good condition. The assignment provision still retains in the district's favor discretion to approve any potential assignee of the lease in the future to make sure they're creditworthy, to make sure they're willing to assume all the obligations of the lease and other reasonable checks and balances that, you know, we may deem relevant if an assignment request comes to us in the future.
Okay.
I'm done. Well, I am disheartened to know that the 48-month waiting period before they can transfer it has been reduced to 48 minutes or 48 seconds, because they can just do it by saying they want to do it. We need to invoke the assignment provision with the new tenant, the new contractor. Let's see, CCBV, the new LLC, needs to be obligated to the same terms and conditions that ESD was obligated. And as we found out from Ryan, we don't know who's behind CCBV. We know who is behind BSD. You did a credit check on it and checked them out rather extensively. You haven't done it with CCBV because you don't even know who they are.
We know that Daniel is behind CCBV. He gave us his Secretary of State filing. We do know that.
And it was Daniel Dayhan that we did due diligence on, the person, Daniel Dayhan, and all the different businesses that he does business with. It's all what he said was true, and that's what we did in our due diligence, was checking him out in many different ways. And so that's the man we're standing behind, not necessarily a businessman.
No, I think I made my point clear. So that's where I am.
Let Ryan go ahead.
Okay. Maybe we'll throw it. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you being available. Mr. Schmidt, what did she mean about the 48 seconds? So I didn't quite.
Okay. Apparently, the lease we have an assignment. We want to prevent our lessees from getting the deal, as you said, the deal of the century, the crown jewel, this RV park on the coast here, the crown jewel of all RV parks up and down the coast. That's what we've got. That's what we hope to get. We don't want them to get such a smashing deal from us that they can flip it to the next guy and make a buck off it until after they've been there for 48 months. And then, and afterwards, we have to approve of the person they want to transfer it to, because we don't want to have a problem in the future. What happened with BSD, they did a good job, they're, you know, they success, everybody's happy, and then flip it over to somebody who isn't a AAA rated operator. And so we have an assignment clause. We cannot unreasonably withhold our agreement or our allowance to assign, but we have to be informed of it. Well, we haven't been informed of this agreement with CCDV until the meeting. Okay, until we got this packet. So I'm saying you can't just say, oh, we're deciding to assign all of our rights and duties and obligations under the contract to CCDV right now. And we have to go along with it. That's a standard business procedure. It is not.
What if we did a reappraisal if that's at 15 years, but what if it was also done if they lease it out prior to that, so that it's not, they're releasing it on this deal that they're going to get a ton of money with the lease. You know, it's like selling, they're selling their lease to somebody else. If they do that, it's reappraised at that time, so the next person's fees go up.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's just, I want to really caution the board about trying to do these 11th hour renegotiations, because we've really spent so much time and energy getting to this point. We've made a lot of concessions back and forth. And
I didn't make that concession.
What's that?
I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, and I respect your feelings on that. I just
not feelings here.
I'm just cautioning the board that we're going to really kill a lot of goodwill that's gone into this deal. If you're going to make a change like that at this point, that's
well, it's not the 90 minutes that we're burning up here. It's the 9 months it's taking us to get here. That could have been short.
And the reappraisal, if they're leasing it out, doesn't affect them. It affects their bottom line on trying to sell it. We want them to stay if they're really going to do all this improvement and manage it well. It doesn't mean the next company can't, but if they're going to make 100 grand off of it because the next company is going to make a ton of money, we need to be reappraising it just like we would reappraise a new lease that we're doing for another company, bring it up to market value.
We have a well thought out lease on the table. I think the
Thank you for your opinion.
In our opinion, that's right. We're the management staff. We've worked really hard to get to this point. We've thought of a lot of things here. We've put a lot of effort into it. And
so we've conceded to a lot for them. There are no benchmarks in here and no guarantees anymore.
And Ryan says that the only assets of the new owner is the RV park itself and any improvements they've made to it.
And the capital investment, I think he added to that, the capital investment that the investors are bringing to it. And
yeah.
That's the important part. The
improvements to the park itself.
Yeah. Well, I think to do the LLC, one of the opening entries is what's the capital of the, and it's not just a lease. There's going to be money put into it by particular people. There's that opening entry, which is the capital investment.
What is that amount?
Well, I imagine they're going to have to put, again, standard operating procedure. I'm going to sign this contract with you. I know I'm going to spend $3 to $5 million in the next 5 years. I'm going to have to put a bunch of capital into the bank account because I got to be able to execute the contract. So standard operating procedure, if I'm your accounting person, is you give me the contract. I set your business up. I do all the things he's doing right now. And he tells me what his opening entry is to give me all the money to do the things that the contracts they have to do. That's standard. Anybody setting up a business, that's how you do it. And that's why I'd like to say again.
So BM standard saying, why don't we have?
He just did, he's doing it in the right order. This is the right order. He's getting ready to sign the contract. He's telling him what name to put on.
Show me where it says how much money they're putting into it up front. Show me that.
Yeah, I will concede that. I agree with both of you. I argued for that. I wanted $3 to $5 million, and they ended up asking for $5 to $8 million, and I wanted that in the contract too. We didn't get that. We've had discussions. Again, here you are at the 11th hour, and you're trying to renegotiate it. We've brought you a good document. We've negotiated it all. We've thought of all the pros and cons, and we have a good deal here. And we'd like to move forward on all these other things that we need to get doing. And this is the thing we need. So I'd just like to ask if we could get a motion to approve the contract as submitted.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to underscore the point that, as everyone well knows, we're in a very precarious financial situation. And this is a really key part of our restructuring, plan for Trenton Harbor Red. So we just really caution the board about anything that might jeopardize the deal that we've negotiated.
I think the importance of the rent money for our success into the future is very important. To try to redo this whole thing again is not for me to want to do. And we went with Daniel Dayhan or BSD for one reason, and that was what he's done in our community and what he's doing and what he's told us he's going to do for the RV parks, and has shown diligence with several contractors in Crescent City to line up work being to be done on the RV park. So that shows that he is going to invest the money into our parks here. And I believe it's important that we get this this resolution number 2026-13 approved. And
I
think I would like to see it done today.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with everything you just said. Why we pick BSD. That's the reason why we picked him.
Yeah.
Because BSD is probably a $100 million organization with investments.
They don't want this liability here. BSD does not want the liability of our RV park.
But we base our decision on the strength and quality and reputation.
We base our decision on what BSD has done with the other LLCs that they have.
What has CCVD done? Nothing.
Well, they just formed.
This is numero uno for them, right? No track record, no bank account, no, other than Dr. Dayhan, we don't know who's behind it or what their interest is in it. That's what I want to find out. It's not a big deal.
That is an incorrect statement, Dan. Incorrect statement.
Well, straighten it out.
I feel like I've said it three or four different ways. I'll try one more time. We looked at Daniel Dayhan. What does Daniel Dayhan do? He has a number of LLCs in the resort environment, and he is successful at that. And he has, when he said he's done something, we double checked it, and he actually did it. So it is really Daniel Dayhan And Daniel Dayan has told us this is the name of the next LLC. So we're just doing what everybody else did. This is the new one. Here's what I go with it. Here's the new one. I would be very surprised if all of those RV parks that he just bought are all in a certain name. And if they don't roll off at some point, that's how you do business. Each one stands by itself so that when you get insurance, you insure just this property. When something happens at this property, it's just that property that's liable. They don't go after all the other property. This is how you do business. Standard operating procedure.
And there's an operating agreement. He has asked for the operating agreement behind this LLC. Just because the Secretary of State lists Daniel Dayan as the person who turned in the form doesn't mean he's the shareholder in that company.
It does, because in the statement of operations, you have to say who your three people are that are running the company, and then who's the agent. And
it doesn't mean they're the shareholders or how the company operates.
It's management. Yes, I've done many of them. As a matter of fact, I do them every year for a number of companies. So I understand completely what's on a statement of information form. It tells you who the people are that you contact if there's something going on and who's running the company. It tells you that.
That does not equate to shareholders and the people guaranteed.
Right, if I'm wrong, but I believe the attorney stated that this was his way to isolate it so that he solicits investors for this development. They can invest in this project specifically and not BSD as a whole.
And those investors are not liable for the other companies that BSD owns. I mean, that's they want to alienate these RV parks from the other LLCs that he has, because otherwise you could go collect from BSD and they're not going to allow that. It's a corporation to limit the liability of the company itself.
If you looked at it actually in a different view of it's a management tool. It depends on what master you're serving. Are you talking about accounting? Now I can have accounting segregated. Are you talking about liability? Yes, I've shielded from liability. If you talk about investors and having them being in a different, it's a management tool depending upon what you want to do. But all of those things and many more, and I think that Ryan used the word, I assume, because we don't really know, but I can tell you from the many businesses I've done this exact same thing with, it is a management tool for a number of different reasons. Most lay people will say it's about liability, LLC, it's about liability. That's why you all go to your accountant and ask him about it, and he tells you to do an LLC.
You just answered the question, though. You don't know. A phone call to Daniel Dayan could answer this. It wasn't done. It's not done. We have time to do it. What is the harm in doing it?
Get Daniel on the phone. You have Daniel on the phone?
Yeah, that would clear things up. That would be great. Then that way we can table this for a little bit and move on.
He's available right now.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. Okay, good, good. Yeah, get him on the phone.
I also want to say, I wish you would. We decided what our minimum for these properties undeveloped in the state that they are. And we're going to relieve that regardless.
Okay, do you know how to find that on the website?
Not a CCBB runs out of gas.
I'll text you right now. You can just connect, okay?
We should have had them on for all.
John, what if ECBB runs out of gas?
And they don't pay us
rent,
and they've defaulted on the lease.
And then what?
Then we start this process all over again. That's the way it works, right? You don't pay your rent, you lose your house.
It'd be nice to know if we could look at the gas.
Also, whatever improvements he's done, capital improvements in the meantime, we retain as the harbor. And that was the whole point of this. We do not have the capital to do the work that needs to be done on these RV parks. We don't have the money to do the electrical, the plumbing, to do even the striping thing. We needed somebody else to come in, invest the money into these parks, bring them up to a commercially viable state so that they could actually make money.
We were unwilling to hire somebody and apply for a grant that's out there.
Well, we've all been satisfied at the board on numerous occasions, two previous 5-0 votes, that BSD was financially capable. We don't know the first fact about CCBV other than the fact that Daniel Dahan submitted the paperwork to the Secretary of State.
So, once again, I mean, what Ms. Moreno had already touched on and what our attorney has already explained, that this isn't uncommon for them to set up an LLC to isolate this project. And there's multiple reasons why they would do that. We're going to get Daniel on here in a minute. It doesn't seem out of the ordinary to me. It doesn't seem out of the ordinary to our attorney. It's something that's commonly done.
The LLC is not.
CCBB. Sure.
But giving them, giving all the guarantees away, so now there's no guarantee, no benchmarks, and no guarantee for any money being put in here. They just get the place. 150, and then, or you weren't here for all the Alex Lima stuff. So, sorry you don't have the reference.
Mr. Dehan, I can see you joined our conference, and just to give you a little background, there's some concern expressed by some of the commissioners about the formation of Crescent City Beach Village, LLC. We did receive some advice from our attorney. This is standard operating procedure, but I think there's some additional questions that you could perhaps answer for some of the commissioners, if you don't mind. You might have to unmute yourself. All right.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling. It's a pleasure seeing all of you. Yes, indeed, it is standard operating procedure in these types of transaction to create a sub-entity. It's nothing more than an accounting premonition. That's all it is.
Dr. Dan, are you there, sir?
There.
Hey,
sir. Go ahead. Dr. Dan.
Yes, sir.
Right here, what arrangements have been made between BSD and CCDV? What's that deal about? Who gets what? Why did that deal come about? We heard the standard operating procedure thing, but we like BSD. We like you. You guys are good. You've done great work. Well-regarded, all that stuff. We don't know a damn thing about CCDV, and we want to know more. Who are they?
So let me explain. First of all, we have no problem putting BSD as the main signer on the contract, if that makes you feel comfortable, not a problem at all. However, in order to open up a bank account, which is commensurate with the name that we are using, in this case, Crescent City Beach Village. And in order to promote the new name, which we have, you know, exhorted in order to have as much traffic as possible and trying to create an image, a new marketing, a new protocol, we work really hard in making sure that everything works together. So when a guest comes in, who do they pay when they come to the RV park? Do they pay BSD property management? They would not know who we are. They wouldn't even understand that. But if I were a guest and I'm traveling through town and I now drive, let's say, to Redwood Village and I want to buy an item, anything, whether it's a t-shirt or an ice cream, or I want to stay there for a couple of nights, I will recognize the same name, which is CCBV, which again stands for Beach Village. The reason, main reason why this was created is because of the word beach. The word beach itself, if you go on the internet, is the highest recognized word as a intensified, SEO. So this is the highest, there's no higher than that, nothing. The minute you put beach, so we know that we would be able to get as many guests as we could from a marketing standpoint because of the budget that we've created for that. That's all it is. So if you prefer from a legal standpoint to sign the contract with BSD and have CCBV as a subsidiary, not a problem. It's not an issue. It's strictly a marketing ploy and then an accounting so that we can separate the money when it comes in.
Can you tell us then on the new name, you're saying it is a subsidiary of the BSD LLC,
It is a
the ownership.
subsidiary. Yeah, it is a subsidiary of BSD.
Mr. Dan, I have a question. You own White Rock Resort. Under what entity is White Rock running? Is it also an LLC?
White Rock Resort is its own LLC, and BSD Property Management controls the management of White Rock Resort. So when people again come to White Rock Resort, they don't pay BSD. They write a check to White Rock Resort.
Thank you.
Dr.
This
Dan.
is very common. This happens, in all the resorts.
So can BSD have the same relationship with the Crescent City Harbor RV Park that it has with White Rock?
That is correct. Yes. And we, by the way, we also have Nautica Beach Resort. We also have Pelican Beach Resort. Each resort has its own LLC, but at the same time, they're all being funded, directed, managed, and operating under a subsidiary.
Would you have any objection, Dr. Gahan, to having BSD be the signatory entity on our harbor lease agreement, and then you guys spin off and do a subsidy, what do you call it?
Subsidiary.
Subsidiary. A junior, a spin off entity called Crescent City Beach Village. Can you do that just like you have with White Rock?
I personally don't have a problem with that, but again, that's a legal question. I'd have to run that by our attorney. I don't see any issue with that. I just have to make sure. Remember, this is the very first time we deal with a city. We own all of our properties. So if this is something that you require, I just have to ask him and see that. I'm not sure, honestly, where this is an issue. The money is deposited, from all of our investors into our bank account. The bank account supplies all of the management protocols, systems, support, pays for all the expenses, and everything will be funded into the account, which will be CCBV. We have now actually in the account, I believe, close to $800,000. So if anybody needs anything, that money will come in and feed each and every one of the needs. If an electrician wants to get paid, all of this is going to become, same account.
Well, I believe that was a lot of the concern was it's when BSD was vetted, it was separate account, and now CCBV. And you've just answered them, some of this, but we don't, again don't have the actual bank accounts. Is that there's money in this Crescent City Harbor Beach Village account of $800,000 approximately? But my other issues in the contract were that when this RFP was you won the RFP, is there were supposed to be these guaranteed benchmarks of either certainly utilities and such done, and or a monetary investment. And all that's been removed from here. And in addition to that, in 48 months, you can find a new lessee and after your improvements, whatever they may be, profit from this, and then we get somebody else. And there's no measurable benchmarks for you. So while I know you have great plans, the contract doesn't guarantee us anything more than $150,000 in rent a year. And so when this new entity came online that has $0, as far as we know, in, on paper, there's no guarantee. And the last guy said to us, same situation. So there's great concern.
Dr. Dan, I have just one thought, if you consider. Are you familiar with what a fictitious business name is?
Yes.
Yes? So
Yes.
why can't BSD file a fictitious name using the name Crescent City Beach Village? So BSD, as the owner, is doing business as a separate business entity under CCBV. And you can have your signs, your stationery, your website, all that under CCBV. Yet
So,
we harbor,
are still protected by the fact that we made our decision to pick you, primarily because we all like you, Dr. Dan. We like you. You're a good guy. You've done great work. Okay? You have a wonderful project. We want to be the flagship of your organization. But we voted on it because of you and BSD, not CCBD. So that's what we want. We want to do business with you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the kind words. However, let me just say, I am the managing director of both entities. So whether you get BSD or you get CCBV, I'm the same managing director, same person, same outfit, and same car. This is who I am, number one. Number two, the money that comes to us goes to a certain project. So we raised close to $6.6, I think, million dollars for this project. That money will come in increments. It's called basically a capital call. As soon as I need the money, it usually comes in by $500,000 or $700,000 at a time. We don't want to put money into a bank that's not going to give us return. So we don't need all this money in the bank tomorrow. Number three, whether we create an LLC, in this case for CCBV, or another LLC for BSD, it's a tax issue, not a marketing issue. This is strictly because its own entity, in this case CCBV, has its own identification number, has its own name, and its own filing. We separate this so that the investors are quite aware of where their money is going. Not all investors are putting money in all investments. We own multiple properties. To give you again an idea, we are currently negotiating on 10 acres of land. No, never mind that. I'll tell you next door. We just bought next door just last week, a week and a half ago. We bought the coastal, it's called Coastal Beach Resort. It is next door to the White Rock Resort. It's about an acre and a half or so, and we're putting three homes there. Now, you can go in the records now. You'll see we just transferred the record. It has its own LLC. Again, because as the money comes in, the investors that are interested in reviewing the offering memorandum for that specific location, they will decide and opt whether or not they want in or not on that location. Last but not least, the marketing point for us is important because, as you can see, we want to make sure that all the numbers go up, all the numbers at all times. We just opened up our online store less than 2 hours ago. As a matter of fact, I just forwarded the pictures to Mike Rademacher. All of these things have to be marketed in a way where there's consistency. There's a certain drive, and it puts everything into one name. From a legal standpoint, I cannot answer that question. I'm more than happy to ask whether or not our attorney would agree to create a DBA under that corporation, whether that would make sense. From an accounting standpoint, I don't think they'll agree, but I can always ask. Not a problem at all to me. You know, you should know, as the managing director, I am 100% member of that organization. By the way, as you probably remember, I'm also an investor. Every property that we own throughout the country, 20% of those properties, I have to put in my own money. Managing director doesn't just mean I manage them. I'm also a lead investor. As a matter of fact, I am the largest investor, you should know, in all these properties. I find these properties, I negotiate, I purchase them, I put my own money into it, the first 20%, and then everybody else goes after me. So that's how this is set up. But if you have a concern, you know, there's something else that I would like to discuss, which I think is more important. And Dan, I appreciate your comment, and I will certainly ask our attorney. But I have another comment, which I think is important, that we need to decide for once and for all. As we move along this project, there will be changes. There will be many changes. I just want you to know, in the last 48 hours, we've had dramatic, dramatic changes that need to happen at the harbor for the electricity. We intend to put in new spaces in order to move the pedestals where they are and create the three alleys in the middle so that we can have 40 foot RVs pulled through. Well, we just thought it was a simple permit. Turns out, after discussing it with the county, after discussing it with our engineer, after getting to a full meeting this morning with the Department of Standards in HCD and then the Coastal Commission, it turns out that it's a major, major deal to move those pedestals less than 3 feet from where they are and replace them. Major deal because of the permitting that you have. I can't keep up with you each time. I try, but I can't. But if you trust me, then it has to be a blanket overall. I can tell you that it'll make things much easier. If you trust me, I will do everything that I can in the best of my judgment because of the money we're investing is money that we hope to come back to help you, to help me. I'm sending all the information, I'm sharing that information. But if we cannot trust each other, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be an issue that's going to come up each time. The very fact that I made a change on this and you're re-questioning and assessing this whole project and even thinking remotely that there could be an issue and that I could walk away or we could just decide in a year or two to just not be part of this is not consistent with the philosophy that we're trying to join forces. It really is not. I understand the concern, and I understand there have been issues with people in the past. But I think, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make a decision. Is this a marriage and we're going to live together because we got a 30-year lease? Or is this just a temporary, very, very minor relationship that's going to break along the way every time we make a turn? And that's important. And I'm willing to put all this back on the burners. But if we're being stopped or constantly questioned, it's not a legal issue. It's not an accounting issue. It's not a question. It's a judgment issue, which is based on trust. And we have to make a decision. And you need to meet together and decide, do we trust Daniel or do we not? That's as simple as that. I make that very clear because otherwise we cannot operate. I'm not used to dealing with things like this, by the way. I'm never questioned as to what I do in the work because we bring in the money, we bring in the expertise, we do the work. I believe you have the right unequivocally to ask those questions because you are a city as opposed to a property we're buying. We offered to buy your property. You said no. So now we're working with you, we're leasing it, and we appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the concern, we appreciate the work, and we certainly appreciate the relationship we're trying to build. But you need to ask yourself, if you question me constantly, it's a lack of trust, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lack of trust. And with the lack of trust, we're not going to be able to move forward. If you always have to come back and say, why did you do this? Why is this? Why is that? Not as an interest, but as a fear, that's not a good relationship. That's not a healthy marriage. I've been married to my wife for 43 years, and I want you to know she never, ever thinks of anything that I would do that would be detrimental to our marriage. I think that's the bigger question that we need to ask here today. Not why CCBV versus BSD, but do we trust Daniel?
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Okay, I'd entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2026-13.
Number 12 first.
But then I move to 13,
You know,
12.
we're on number 6 first.
Okay. 12.
Any discussion?
I think we just had it. We've been on a discussion for an hour.
No. Is that a no? Any discussion?
More discussion?
To
He just said he was okay with what I discussed. What I suggested he's okay with it. And I understand his sensitivities and all that. I do. Perhaps more than any of you, you know. But I think that BSD and being the principal entity that's entering into contract with us, and after they've got the contract and they're obligated under the contract, they can then spin off the CCBD or whatever else they want in any form they want, as a DBA, as an LLC, or anything they want. But we've agreed not on the 9 months we've been spending on this. It's always been BSD and Dr. Dayham and his reputation and his accomplishment. And now we got this new entity that presumably we have 800,000 in its account. Great, happy to have that. You know, let them handle their accounting questions on their side of the contract. Let us handle our let's just do business with BSD. Sign that agreement. I went up there to the podium a week or two ago to get him to sign that agreement. We should do it. Get it done. BSD, not CCBD, whatever it is.
I'm happy with our legal client blocks. I mean, he's explained it to us several different ways. He doesn't see any issues with it. I'm happy with his explanation with it, along with Mr. Dayham. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to accept resolution number 2026-12 as it's been submitted to the board.
I second.
Yes.
We had public comment and the discussion on the board, so would you take vote?
Commissioner Niemer?
Abstain.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Abstain.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye.
All right, we'll move on to consider to adopt resolution number 2026-13, approval of lease with Crescent City Beach Village LLC for the property commonly known as Bayside RV Park, located at 750 US Highway 101. So, we have a public comment on that.
I'd like to comment as public comment. Took to heart what Daniel just said. You guys have brought in some professionals, and I'm going to call Mike and myself professionals to try and run this business and tell you things. And in some people, there is no trust in us. He has the lawyer on a text message right there in front of you and can show it to you. But we believe we should just be accepted on faith, because if we're telling you that's right there, that's what it is. We're a team. We're working together. We're giving everything we can, the board, and to try and make this successful. What he just said, when we, and I'm not a big fan of Daniel when I first started, but we brought him in as a member of the team, and it's all about team, which would need 5 votes. At some point, you have to have trust and faith in us. And I would just like to reiterate what Daniel just said. At some point, you have to have faith and trust in us and work with us as a team to make this go forward, because that's how we do this, right? If we're constantly having to not be trusted, it creates problems for us. We should be united when we do this. This seemed to me to be a no-brainer. It would be nice to have a 5-0 vote on this.
Thank you, board, for getting Mr. Dayham on the phone. It clarified a lot of things for me, and I appreciate that. And I don't want him to think that we're being nitpicky or anything, but some things just need to be explained a little better. And you did a good job there. As to having 5 people say yes to things, that's not what government is about. If people have a difference of opinion, then you need to know it. You can't take responsibility for something that you're not sure about. And so 3-2 is fine with me. Thank you.
Rare moment.
Yes, Doug, community person involved with growth for this community. You all have opinions, you all dress different. I don't agree with a lot of things, but I think Sandy had a good point, Linda has a good point, and the community has a better point. Let's go forward with quality. I don't know any project I did over 6 decades where everything was perfect. You have a right for your opinion, I respect it. But let's do something and get some sticks in the ground. We lost several months. We lost several months because communication wasn't the best. I don't know anybody here has done a project in the last 5, 10 years construction. Raise your hand. Thank you.
Right here.
Yeah. I'm just saying on this board, you're exception, just like I am. But the thing is, I think you got some quality here. Don't look past it. And I think, like everything, as you go along, you're going to learn. This investment is in detail. It's going to be done properly. You've got guarantees mentioned, and ask them good questions. In the last meeting with Daniel, and he answered him properly. And I think everybody has an opinion, but when it gets to be individual, it's not good for the community. So I'm glad that everybody voted for it, and let's go forward. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment on the Zoom or anything? Oh, I'll take it to the board then. Yeah, I had to agree with Daniel. I mean, that's where I went with when we voted for, I guess, BSD or whatever it was, Daniel Dayhan, and what he's done for this community. I've said it many times. So and I think we have to have trust that he's gonna do the right thing for our harbor. And that's what I believe. It's going to be what's best for this harbor, and it's going to get us through and actually stay solvent and be able to move forward in the future. And he's going to be a big part of it. And if we don't have that trust in him, then it's not going to be a good relationship. It's going to be a rocky one. So, anyways, I appreciate everybody's comment and Daniel being on here. And John was saying, our attorneys doesn't have a problem with it, so I'm ready to move forward with resolution number 2026-13.
Yeah, I just want to have the comment. It's nice to have trust, and sometimes you don't get it. But just look at the history that has happened. Let's look at the White Rock LLC and see what BSD has done with the White Rock LLC. And based on that history, I feel confident to vote for him.
Yeah, that's where I believe that's what the basis I was on from the very beginning is what I was. That's what I tried to reiterate. So, anyways, we nothing's really changed other than the LLC, which I completely understand that. It's a way to conduct business.
This is not about trust. This is about contractual guarantees, and they are not here. And they're not here. And while you can tout one company and one investment, the other hand is he is now purchasing several properties. So you could say maybe he is over leveraging now. You have no idea. And so there's no guarantees in this contract. We have let them go. And trust doesn't fill the void in a contract. And this contract can go to somebody else. So again, with no guarantees and a potential different lessee, you've just left a gap.
I have a similar concern. We trust Daniel, but trust BSD. They're the ones that did White Rock and all the other RV parks.
No, Right Rock Resort LLC did.
Under BSD.
And the same thing. You just explained that Crescent City Beach Village is the same as White Rock Resort. We're under the umbrella of BSD. And the BSD is the controlling owner of Redwood.
So why don't we do business on this contract with BSD?
Because they don't offer. Okay.
Okay, well then let me finish
my answer. Okay.
The trust problem I think we have,
So,
right? Because it's taken you 9 months to get here. At the very last second, the last three meetings, you come with changes, a higher version of the contract. That's what I have a problem with. And Sandy, I don't like it that you walk into this meeting, not today.
Can we bring it back to the...
I'm talking.
Mr.
You
Chair.
Can talk later. And then you drop off all your financial reports in the middle of the damn meeting.
Mr.
You know?
Chair, we're on resolution number 25. But we could bring that up at a later date, and the finances. Right now we're discussing. We need to stay on the resolution number 2026-13, which is Crescent City Beach Village LLC for the for Bayside RV Park. That's what we're discussing right now.
Did we have public comment already on this agenda?
We did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, perfect. So I'd like to make a motion to accept resolution number 2026-13 at this time.
I'll second the motion. Any more? Okay, take a vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
No.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Abstain.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Moving on. Good morning. Senator. And adopt resolution number 2026-14, appointing the district treasurer pursuant to Harbors and Navigation Code Section 6071, and authorizing the treasurer to appoint one of the more deputy treasurers as permitted by law. So we're going to make the secretary, which is Gerhard Weber, will be the district treasurer, and he can appoint a deputy treasurer as well. That's what we're voting on.
Who's not allowed under the code. The code doesn't specifically bar anyone from being specifically appointed, but the treasurer provides reports to the secretary. So the secretary cannot also be the treasurer.
Well, it wasn't one time, but maybe we weren't probably legal.
The treasurer is a staff position, not a board position. The secretary can be a board position or a staff position.
Well, that's why he's going to appoint a deputy treasurer to report to the treasurer. That's not legal?
He's the secretary. He cannot be the treasurer. Treasurers are staff positions.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
So, I mean, there isn't an arbitrary thing that's doing it this way. And we could have Ryan weighing on it.
I was the treasurer once when I was the secretary.
Not in common for boards.
But that was 7 years ago. And I said, you didn't want me as the treasurer, but I said it was. But if you were secretary, then you were the secretary.
Our treasurer shall hold office at the pleasure of the board, and whose duty shall receive and safely keep all monies of the district. We have staff doing that. He shall comply with all provisions of law governing deposit and security in all public funds. Staff does that. He shall pay out monies unwarranted, duly authorized. Staff does that. This is a staff position.
Technically, you look anywhere else, the treasurer is usually on the board. Right? Every other board you look at, there's the president, chairman, or whatever name you want to give them. There's a secretary, and there's a treasurer. Those are usually the three names that you really want. Annie, you put together our bylaws this time and didn't put anything about a treasurer in our bylaws. And typically, you would see that in the bylaws because you want to call out those three. It's interesting the way that you say that because you guys all actually approve all those warrants, right? You sign all those warrants. You do all that stuff.
In fact, you made that decision. You overrode the staff when you didn't pay the USDA loan. So you made that decision, not the board. And you made the decision to pay Thatch and Blacksmith, not the board.
Incorrect.
We just signed the checks. You actually issued them or Christina did. Again, that's a staff position.
Incorrect. It's an interpretation. Anyways, that's what I'd like to say to the board. You guys can decide how you want to do it. And that's how it gets done. You don't have to run to the attorney every time something happens.
This is a clear conflict of interest. So if you're the treasurer, how do you vote on the budget? You're controlling the money and voting on your oversight? You're completely conflicting. You're doing an executive and a legislative position at the same time.
So every other board out there that has a treasurer that is a board member, when they vote on the budget, is supposed to abstain? I've never seen that.
Please tell me how many boards have treasurers. We have staff. What's happened here is you were wrongfully hired as a contractor. You failed the ABC test. You failed one wrong, for sure. And you didn't want to be paid taxes, so you were hired as a 1099. Your position should be staff, and that should be the treasurer. That's how it's been done. But to keep you on, we're finding this loophole to allow it, which is completely unacceptable. And moreover, why is this being presented to the board today, 18 months after Negus?
Hey, Cole, that's points are well taken, and maybe those things need to be looked at. So I'm saying, you know, we're going to have a meeting in a week from now. We could put this on there when we get some a clarification from our attorney. And my thought was, as with Sandy, that the treasurer was a board member. And at one time, it was with Crescent City Harbor, but the bylaws have been changed several times. And so, I mean, we should get clarification on this before we vote on it. And so it's not a big deal to do it right now. Mike Rademacher, he's the treasurer, took on the position after Tim left. And so we should just move forward.
Board never appointed him as treasurer. We have to appoint a treasurer.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that's why it's being brought. There's some other reason this has been brought to the board today that we aren't being told.
Okay.
Is it what?
It's just, this is like gotten so blown out of proportion. I mean, this has always been historically just like a very insignificant title given to people that there's been no actual activity that the treasurer has ever done. It's always been delegated to people. And harbor districts have done it both ways. Some have made it a commissioner, some have made it a staff person. So I think we'll get clarification from Ryan and answer some questions.
Yeah, and
there's no urgency here at all. This is just a bookkeeping exercise. We noticed that it was overlooked. And wanted to address it. There's nobody's trying to get any power from this position. It's ridiculous. So
I said find out how many boards do have treasurer. I think quite a few of them do. I think at least. But anyways, so we'll table this till next Wednesday, and we'll listen to the to the public comment then, because we're not going to decide it today, so we know it won't be comment. And so with that,
number nine.
That where the meeting is adjourned.
Let him know.